Hi everyone, I'm Andy.
And I'm Allie.
Welcome back for another week of Marianne and Wanda, your favorite book club and media podcast.
Indeed. And what a week it is. We're at the end of January and I cannot believe it.
Man, this week has been a wild one.
Yeah.
Yeah, since our last recording, I had our national sales conference, which I did end up going to.
Okay.
There was a little hesitation on if I should go because the roads were so icy. We had a snowstorm. I think we got about, which I mean, I say snowstorm. We got like 5 or 6 inches, which for a lot of people is nothing. So
it's a lot for Tennessee, though.
Yeah, yeah.
To be clear.
Yeah. So Adam drove me downtown for the conference on Wednesday morning. And then Friday, I rode the train back to Lebanon.
Ooh.
And I was the only passenger.
Oh, that's sad.
But I got to ride it for free.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Rode it all the way back to the Lebanon station. And the guy was like, okay, you can get off now. And I was like, wait, don't you need my ticket? He was like, no, it's fine. You can keep it for another time.
Aw.
I was like, oh, okay, thanks.
Say no more.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had that. And then we had a pipe burst in the snowstorm, in the freeze.
Mm-hmm.
It's all fixed. So that's, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, you have running water again.
Yeah, that was a mess for like several days. We didn't have running water. And then, yeah, I just had a big corporate change at work. And I'm not sure how that's going to look yet, but I still have a job. So it's okay.
All's well.
Yeah.
Big week.
Yeah. Well, I hope yours wasn't that eventful.
No, I mean, it's been nice. Like I got, yesterday I met Molly, friend of the pod, in Mobile, and we went and worked, for the afternoon in Panera, which was nice. It's always good to see her.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been really working on this application for a fellowship I'm applying to. And I'm finding it both so hard to just like talk about myself, let alone like try and highlight the good things I think that I've done in like the past 6 years.
Yeah.
But I also got to the end. I like got through, I've written an outline many moons ago and I like have thought through everything I wanted to say. And then I realized recently that I didn't mention or plan to mention like 3 of the huge things that happened in my career. So like my advisor passing away, going to Peru and getting stuck there, and then also the hurricane that shut down the lab for a little while. And I was like, oh, maybe I should like at least mention a couple of those things, because the Peru thing is a very one of the questions is about what collaborative things you've done, and like that's a huge thing that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
But also like Jeff, my advisor, is definitely going to talk about at least Ron and Peru in his letter of recommendation.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it and being so weird to read an application where that's mentioned in the letter of recommendation, but the applier doesn't talk about it once.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I've had to do some restructuring and it's stressful. So it is what it is.
Where is the fellowship?
It would be in DC. So it's the Knaus Fellowship,
mm-hmm.
Which is a very prestigious program. And you essentially go work for either a federal office or, you can actually get into the legislative branch and work for, like one of the senators or, House of Reps. Hypothetically, I might get this, but, I won't know for a little while. So
Allie takes the White House.
Yeah, that'd be great. See what happens at like the end of this year and who gets elected president. Might not even have a job if I got the fellowship.
We need some women in leadership over there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's what I've been working on. Before we get started, though, I do want to ask you about, so for those of you who may not know, Justin Timberlake dropped a new song today.
Oh, I was wondering if it was today that came out. You sent it to me earlier.
Yes. So the video and the song dropped today. He might have performed it last week. He had a concert in Memphis that was free.
I saw that online, but I thought it was fake news.
No, it was free. And I entered the drawing to try and get them, but obviously I didn't. And I would have taken you if I'd gotten the free ticket. But regardless, I think that he probably played it there. but this is when it first dropped, and I wanted to hear your thoughts before we got started.
Yeah, I listened to it, and I watched the music video too. The music video made me feel like I was in the spinning teacups at the fair.
Yes, lots of motion in that.
Yeah, I had to look away a couple times so that I wouldn't, like, get dizzy. Yeah. But, I mean, the music video itself, to me, wasn't anything spectacular. The song itself, not bad, but I wouldn't say it's the best Justin Timberlake song I've ever heard. I really like, especially on the 2020 Experience album, how there's so many layers of different instruments built in to, to every single one of those songs. And so it felt a little empty without the Tennessee Kids on it.
Yeah, that's pretty much my same thoughts. Like, it's an okay song. It definitely sounds like Justin Timberlake. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, it's okay. It's not the best song that he's ever written, obviously. Yeah. But it's catchy.
So I guess he has a full album coming out, right?
I would assume so. No idea when that's supposed to drop. Yeah. But I'm excited. So maybe it's like just this one song that doesn't have the Tennessee Kids. But
yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I noticed that you also mentioned was that he looks older in this video.
Yeah. Like I don't really follow him very closely, but any picture I've seen of him in probably the last 10 years or so, he still looks very youthful. But this one, maybe it was just the way they did his makeup for the music video, but he, like, his under his eyes, it makes him look really old now.
Yeah. And he had, there was a close-up shot where you could see, like, the speckled gray in his beard. Yeah. And I think he still looks good, obviously, but it was just noticeably older than what he is in my mind.
Yeah, same. Like, I don't consider him old, but he just definitely looked a lot older than I picture in my mind.
How old do you think he is, if you had to guess?
I'm gonna guess 45.
A little older. Yeah, he's 42.
42?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That would have been my guess, but wow. Yeah.
I just imagine him as, like, 25 or maybe 30. I know he's not, but that's what I picture.
Yeah. It's just permanently locked in that.
Yeah.
That happens.
Well, that's just some fun pop culture.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And I did just Google it, and the album is supposed to drop on March 15th.
Okay.
Called Everything I Thought It Was. Anyway, so yeah, that's the hot news. Thought we would talk about on the pod since we did talk about his movie earlier.
And concert that we went to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not why we're here today. Why are we here today, Andy?
So the book for the month that I picked was Ghosted by Rosie Walsh. And I picked this one because I went into the used bookstore in Lebanon that's right off the square. And I found two copies. And so I gave Allie one copy as her Christmas gift. That's how I picked it.
Yeah. And I felt like I was in high school again because I actually annotated this copy. So I was like, back in the old days.
I hated when we had to do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't do nearly as much as I feel like we were expected to have something on every single page.
Yeah.
And I just wrote when something made me mad or like big things that happen in the book. So
yeah, well, let's do a little background on Rosie Walsh and then we'll get into the summary and the actual book itself. So Rosie Walsh currently lives in, would you say Devon or Devon?
I think it's Devon.
That's what I would say. Devon, UK, with her husband and two kids. And she actually used to be a documentary producer and writer. I meant to look up what she's produced before and I forgot. Did you do that?
Yeah, well, she worked on documentaries for like BBC and Channel 4. So it's like a lot of the big stuff. I had a hard time finding a lot of information on that because she was under a pen name at the time. So she used to write and produce under the name Lucy Robinson. And that's when she was a producer for the West End Theater Productions and for these documentaries. So I wasn't entirely sure what she had done.
Yeah.
But what I do know for sure was that she had a popular blog on Marie Claire that started in 2009. She had it for a couple years where they asked her to document her largely unsuccessful online dating experiences, which led to her first two book deals particularly The Greatest Love Story of All Time, which was in 2012. And then she also wrote A Passionate Love Affair with a Total Stranger, The Unfinished Symphony of You and Me, and The Day We Disappeared. And all of that was before she changed her name. But then when she wrote this book, which came out in, 2018?
Yeah, I saw 2018 and 2019, but I think it's 2018.
That's when she switched to her actual name, Rosie Walsh. It was 2018, yeah.
I wonder why she dropped the pen name.
I don't know, Andy. I was trying to look it up because she had like this old blog and an old website, and they've been just like scrubbed from the internet. So don't know what went on there, but she did not want it anymore.
Interesting.
So she moved to South America, right? And that's where she met the person she calls the man, who's her current partner, and she has two children with him.
Keeps their identities locked.
Yeah, I mean, I would too.
So for the book itself, Ghosted, I didn't realize it until I was looking it up on her website. And I wonder why. There's lots of books that do this, and I don't know the reasoning why. In the US, it was published with the name Ghosted, but the same book in the UK was published as The Man Who Didn't Call. Like, do you know why some books in some countries are published with different names, but it's the same book?
Sometimes it's because slang that you might use here might not translate well in the UK. So I don't know if they like actually use the term ghosted or not, but that could easily be what it is. But it looks like there's also, and it could also be that there's something already well known in that country under the same name. So there is a TV series in the UK that's called Ghosted. So I don't know if that factored into it, but just to say.
Yeah, it could be. So this book in particular was published in 35 languages and sold 1.5 million copies. It was also considered a national bestseller. It was on the bestseller list. And I looked on her website, and you remember how we were talking about how A Flicker in the Dark was published in different languages and every cover had different artwork? That it looks like it's the same thing for this one. I looked on the Ghosted page, and when you scroll to the bottom, it shows you what I assume is all 35 different versions with different covers.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. And one thing that I thought was interesting was that the book is categorized as contemporary fiction and also a thriller. But did you feel like it was a thriller? Because I didn't.
I think under the loosest definition of thriller, yes. Because of the way that the story unfolds, right? She hides a lot from us, and we don't really know what happened to the guy for the longest time. And I think a lot of people's assumption is that like something bad happened to this person.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And so like in that sense, assuming that was your assumption, I could see this as a thriller, but it's like not scary, you know?
Yeah, I kind of think of a thriller as more in line with A Flicker in the Dark, where it's like kind of gets your heart racing a little bit, and there's so much like back to back to back, I don't know, big details that it seems like the story moves really fast, and there's all kinds of twists and turns, which this one did have twists and turns, but I don't know, I just didn't get the overall feeling that it was heart racing.
Yeah. I mean, I agree, but
do you want to do a quick background before we go any further?
Yeah, so this book, if you haven't read it, essentially, we follow Sarah, who is a recently separated woman, and meets Eddie on the anniversary of a very dark day in her life when she, quote unquote, lost her sister, Hannah. We follow, I think, full of twists and turns as Eddie disappears and Sarah tries frantically to figure out what exactly happened to him. Was he involved with her sister's disappearance? Was he murdered? Why won't he just respond to Sarah's messages? They agreed to meet up in just 1 week. You know, what happened?
Crazy.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I guess to start off, I'm assuming you read the book since I gave you a copy.
Yes.
Okay. So I read the first 11 or 12 chapters, and then I was like, okay, this is going so slow, I gotta listen to the audiobook and see if it's better. I don't know, the pacing for the first probably 10, a little bit more chapters, it was so slow to me that I was like, I gotta switch it up and do something else, or I'm not gonna get through this book.
I don't know, I didn't have any issues with that. I thought there was a lot going on, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, there was a lot of repetition in like, I guess her interactions with people, because she would constantly be asking the same thing of like, what happened to Eddie? What happened to Eddie?
Yeah.
So that was, I guess, a little bit repetitive, but I think like a lot happened to me. I don't know.
I don't know. It seemed like to me the first 10 chapters, they were riding in the car to this presentation that Tommy was giving with the former high school bully.
True, but I mean, we get a lot of background in that. She tells like the beginning of the story of how she met Eddie and...
Yeah. I guess
I don't know.
In my head, I was like, man, we've gone through 10 chapters and we're still in the car on the way to this presentation.
How did you feel about the structure, the way she told the story? So we get, you know, some current time as she's sort of figuring out what's happening to Eddie. But then we also get the flashbacks to their week together. And then we also have these chapters where someone's writing a letter to somebody else. And my assumption, at least in the beginning, was that it was Sarah, the main character, writing a letter to her sister, Hannah, who's gone.
Yeah, that was my interpretation too. And I'm kind of glad that that's not actually what was happening, but we didn't find that out until the end. That part didn't bother me, but I wasn't a huge fan of how Walsh wrote the parts about the accident. I thought it was a little confusing and hard to follow the way she told bits and pieces of the story until she like flat out started from the beginning and told the whole thing. But I'm sure that was probably a little bit intentional because you didn't want to
build
the whole thing right in the beginning.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I did think it was a little hard to follow at some points. So I was having to stop myself and think like, wait, what is going on right now? What is this? Who is this? Yeah. I also thought at first that the way she was telling the story about the accident, I thought Eddie was going to turn out to be a drunk driver who hit Sarah's car head on. And that's how Alex died. But like that was my first interpretation of it when she was starting to tell bits and pieces of the story.
Did you assume that it was Sarah's sister who had died and not that she wasn't speaking to her for the longest time?
Yeah. And I think that was the intention.
Yeah. Okay. And so, yeah, in that situation, I was like, oh, maybe Eddie, was somehow involved either as a drunk driver or in whatever way with the accident.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it was, I understand the why she did it that way, but I did think it read a little bit confusingly where I had to read a couple parts over again to make sure I was like fully understanding what character we were talking about.
Yeah. What about the accident itself as like the plot device? That was a pretty thrilling story, I would say. And
it seemed very unrealistic to me.
Really?
And not the part about dating a guy who's not that good of a match for you, but like him
a literal predator.
Yeah, like him pulling up in a stolen car, your little sister running and jumping in the car with him, and then like going on a Tokyo drift speed race. I don't know. I was like, that would not really be happening.
I don't. As a younger sister, I could absolutely see this happening. Like her sister just getting like a little bit jealous and wanting to seem like a cool kid and just jumping in this car with him to have fun.
Yeah. I guess it didn't really explicitly say, well, no, it did. It said that Sarah's parents after the accident didn't realize that she even had a boyfriend. So I kind of took that to think that Hannah didn't really know the guy well enough to feel comfortable like going to jump in his car. At least I wouldn't if I had been in her shoes.
Again, like I think that there's something to be said for like your younger sister who's 5 years younger and like meets your cool older boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to impress him. And I also thought, like, I know that Sarah blamed herself a lot for the accident because what happened was that she and Alex, her sister's best friend, got in the car, right? And tried to chase after her boyfriend to just like, to me, that was very realistic too, to be like, I don't know what you could have done differently in that situation. Like, right. I don't think you could have like sat and waited for them to come back.
Yeah.
And like, and the way that she describes the accident, like that she didn't really think as she just kind of swerved off the road and was like just trying to create some space for the other cars. Like, I don't blame Sarah. That was like a horrible situation.
Yeah. And like, we can get into Eddie's mom in a little bit, but I also like, that was one of my key things was I never really thought about Sarah having run off the road on purpose into a tree. It wasn't a malicious intent for her, like, I'm going to purposely do this to Alex. It was more of like a knee-jerk reaction to get off the road so you don't have a collision.
So yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm sure she probably feels guilty for what happened, but like, I don't know. I didn't really get the whole thing of Eddie's mom being like, she's a monster.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, Hannah and Eddie's mom, like, both really blame her. And yeah. I think myself, well, neither of them are really justified, but I really don't understand why Hannah blamed her so much for this accident and why she would just completely cut her out of her life for 20 years almost.
Yeah, if anything, Hannah should blame herself because it would have never happened if she hadn't gotten the boyfriend's car.
Yeah, I mean, and like, granted, if Sarah didn't have the boyfriend, but she also got with him when she was a teenager and he was 20-something. So, like,
yeah.
That, yeah, that the parents should never have let that happen either.
Yeah. So to back up a little bit before we get too far into Eddie, I think that the way Rosie Walsh writes the timeline of the love story between Sarah and Eddie was convincing, because in the story it takes 7 days for them to supposedly fall head over heels in love with each other. I don't know. What did you think about that timeline? Was it convincing?
Yeah, it was a nice little story. I mean, there's a hopeless romantic in me that loves it. Like, it reminded me of P.S. I Love You, the way that that happened, like, how quickly they fell in love. But I can't envision myself in that situation. Like, it would takes me a lot longer than 7 days, you know?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think that the timeline was very short, and I don't know, I'm just not convinced. It didn't say, like, I mean, I guess she said she opened up to him more than she ever had to Ruben. But at the same time, it was like, yeah, we read books together and we read magazines and we just sat in silence. I'm like, okay, are you really like talking that much to him and getting to know
him? Well, yeah. I mean, I was talking to my friends about this and I was like, they spent like a third of their time sleeping, a third of their time talking, and then the other time they were just having sex. And I was like, I guess you could probably feel like you had a good connection in that time, but to be so convinced and committed after that is just a little shocking to me.
Yeah. So following up to that, what did you think about Sarah's persistence in contacting Eddie after he never called?
Man, you know, I gotta be honest, I agree that it was weird, but I think after sending like max 2 to 3 messages and maybe calling him 2 to 3 times, you just like, you gotta let it go, you know?
Yeah, that's what my note was in all caps. Girl, let it go.
Yeah.
Like, then I also made a note, until she found out she was pregnant, then I understand wanting to contact him and like let him know what's going on. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but if he's just, I mean, granted, it seems like it's out of character, but again, you've known him for 7 days, so how could you be sure that this is so out of character for him to just ghost you?
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you don't really know somebody in 7 days, but yeah, no. I think I would be the same way. If it was me in Sarah's shoes, like, I would send max probably two texts, maybe one the first day and one the next day, and maybe one or two calls, and after that I'd be like, all right, I get the message, you're not interested, and just let go.
Yeah, definitely no more than a couple phone calls. Like, come on, dude. You can't call him, like, every day for a week.
Well, it was more than that. It was, like, back-to-back-to-back texts and more messages on WhatsApp. And
no, I know. I'm just saying that, like, after calling him every day for a week, like,
yeah,
that you're out of it, my friend.
And then what did you think about Eddie, how he handled cutting her off?
I agree with you. So I think that we both think that the best thing that Eddie could have done, especially after he was getting all these messages, would just have been like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I figured out who you are and I'm just not interested. And like, that's it. You don't even have to apologize. You could just say, I'm not interested. Please quit contacting me.
Yeah. And that would have solved so many problems for him if he would have just sent one message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just sorry, I realize who you are, I'm not interested.
That's, yeah,
that would be it.
Yeah, and again, like, he doesn't even really have to apologize. Like, I think that it's justified for him to just be like, this isn't gonna work out, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, So I guess to circle back to Eddie's mom a little bit now. So the reason that Eddie initially ghosted Sarah was because he found out who she really was in connection to his sister's death.
Yes.
And so Eddie's mom has spent the last 20 years literally loathing Sarah to the point where she's telling people openly, I hope she dies. You know, I hope she feels the same pain that she has felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, she was the character that I hated the most. mostly because I really started to hate her when she was invading Eddie's privacy by reading his letters.
Oh my God, yeah. So that's what, yeah, that's the story with the letters in this book, is that he has been writing letters to his sister Hannah to, like, as catharsis, you know, to, like, tell her about things and try to heal after this.
Yeah.
And then his mom goes in and reads them. Like, hello?
Yeah. This is a full-grown man. He's 40 years old.
And, you know, I know that she has issues, you know. She has mental health problems that she is granted, I guess, going to some therapy for, but, like, man alive, it's hard to have any sympathy for her, especially since she kept Hannah in her life and kept, like, telling Hannah that Sarah's a horrible person. It's like, you gotta quit trying to influence her so much, you know?
Yeah, and Hannah was 12 when it happened, so you know she's very influenced at that age.
Yeah.
So one thing I didn't fully understand about Eddie's mom, and this is mostly speculation, but we know that she doesn't have any physical limitations, because Eddie at one point says that she can shower on her own, she can get around her house and cook and whatever she needs to do. Mm-hmm. But I think part of the reason why she is the way she is because she never got proper grief counseling. And, like, I get that depression and suicide attempts are caused by a mental instability, but I think if she would have gotten proper grief counseling, she wouldn't have carried around so much hatred and, like, just had a pessimistic outlook on everything.
Yeah, and I think that they mention that she was, she already had depression, I think, before the accident, and then this really sent her into a downward spiral.
Mm.
You know, and I have sympathy for that in general, but God alive, I tell you, she does need some, like, serious help. And I think Eddie did her a disservice by, like, not putting her into maybe some sort of inpatient facility where she could get the help that she needed, because it was apparent that she's not moving on past this, and that's not, like, a fulfilling life in any sense.
Yeah, there needs to be some kind of bigger intervention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man alive.
Yeah, was not.
She has severe trust issues, worse than me, and that's saying something. I did not like her, but I did like the twist that she was, like, the mysterious character that was stalking Sarah. Like,
oh yeah,
that was very unexpected.
Yeah, I thought that was gonna be Hannah.
Yeah, that would have made sense.
Mm-hmm.
But for the longest time in this book, I thought Hannah was dead.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I liked that. And I liked that Sarah had, like, the thought, and she was like, is that Eddie's mom? And then was like, surely not.
Yeah.
And it ended up being anyway.
She definitely was doing some things behind closed doors, invading privacy and going through Eddie's phone and his letters and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, don't like that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about sort of the ending of this book?
I mean,
so
it was okay.
It was okay, Andy. It was horrible.
I mean,
like, Sarah's biggest character trait in her first marriage was that she was so messed up by this accident that she could never, ever, ever have a kid. She would never do it. She gets pregnant by Eddie and, like, okay, that's fine, I'm keeping it now.
Yeah, so I thought the first marriage with Reuben was, yes, it was her, like, having this trauma for so long, but also I took it as her being like, I'm very independent, I'm a very influential lady, we started this nonprofit, like, I'm a girl boss essentially. And then, but then also, like, yeah, she couldn't imagine herself being a mom because of this trauma and all that, and that's fine, I get it. But then, yeah, when she got pregnant with Eddie and then kept it, But she never reached out and told him. So, I mean, at that point, I don't know how she would have decided, like, okay, now is the time to let him go now that I'm pregnant. So it's not like she even kept it with the hope that Eddie would get back together with her. But, yeah, it's like, okay, now, I mean, I guess, I don't know what her outlooks on, like, pro-life and pro-choice are, but even still, she decides to keep it, and then Eddie shows up at the hospital, and then she's like, oh, come in, like, I want to meet you, or I want you to meet the baby, and all that. I'm like, girl, you haven't seen him in 6 months, and you know he ghosted you and told you to stay away and whatever, and now you're just going to let him in the delivery room?
Yeah. It felt like a huge disservice to Sarah's character. Like, she could have, like, I would have accepted if she had, like, gone through some, like, serious therapy or something and had changed her view. Like, that would have been fine. There's a brief part where you think that Sarah actually dies because she gets hit by a car. And, like, mm-hmm. I would have accepted, like, her dying or just losing the baby or her putting up the baby for adoption because she didn't want to have an abortion or her having an abortion. Like, all of those felt like it would have fit a lot more with Sarah's character and her whole life rather than just baby fixes everything.
Yeah, I really don't like that mentality either, that a baby will fix a relationship, because they don't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I also thought it just didn't really make sense with her character as far as Walsh had written it to that point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess they end up together and supposedly have a happy family. I don't know.
I hope the best for them.
Yeah, it wasn't that exciting of an outcome, but
no,
it's all right.
And I wonder if she had, like, extended and looked into the future, like, would Sarah and Eddie have stayed together? You think?
I don't know. I mean, 7 days is so short. You don't know how to live with somebody at that point. You don't know if you're finances will work together at that point. Like, you got a lot of things to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure.
Also, though, if I was Sarah and Eddie's mom was like, I want to be with my grandchild, but I don't want the mother around, like, nope, sorry, that's a hard line, we are not going to go there.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't accept me as the mom, then you don't get to be around the grandchild.
Yeah. And not even, you don't even really have to like me, but as long as you respect me, exactly. You know, and will look me in the eyes.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie's mom does show up to the, I guess it's kind of like a christening, but they said not really because they're atheists.
Yeah.
She shows up and, like, literally just acknowledges Sarah and says, like, thank you for my grandchild. And that's the extent of her, I don't know, extension of an olive branch to Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, really, lady? That's the best to do.
Yeah. As she takes the baby and walks away.
Yeah.
Last question for you. How did you feel about them naming the baby Alex?
I feel like I could have guessed that would be what they named the baby.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, nothing caught me by surprise.
Yeah. Again, though, that just feels like you're still calling up that memory every single time. And
yeah.
Maybe as a middle name that you don't really use, I think that maybe I could handle that in this situation, but
yeah,
the first name, I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's too much sadness associated with that name at the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
We did have a couple of notes about Sarah's lifelong friends, Tommy and Joe, and then Joe's little boy, Rudy.
Yes.
They were kind of just side characters, but I liked seeing that Tommy stuck by Sarah's side after the accident and didn't blame her and turn his back on her like the rest of the town did. And he let her come live with his family in California.
What a weird arrangement as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a good friend throughout the book.
Yeah.
So was Joe, all of them. Well, not Zoe, who was Tommy's wife.
Oh, I was trying to, I saw your notes about Zoe and I was like, who is Zoe?
Yeah, she was Tommy's wife, and literally everything she does in this book is, well, I mean, she's a high powered corporate lawyer or something, which good for her. But then every time we hear her talk or say anything, it's like, you should be like on a diet or aren't you worried about your weight? It's like, come on, dude.
Oh, I didn't even catch those. I think I just totally forgot about Zoe altogether.
Yeah, that's fair. She wasn't super important to the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Rudy, though. He was funny.
I didn't really have much of an opinion of him. He just seemed like a normal, what was he, eight-year-old kid.
Yeah, something like that. He was pretty funny. Are we ready to rate?
Okay, should our scale be out of 5 hospital clowns?
Yes.
That whole business plan, nonprofit, I'm like, hold on. Are the doctors dressing up like clowns just to make the kids feel more at ease while they're doing operations? Or are these like characters who are not in the medical field coming in to keep kids occupied?
Yeah, I think it's the latter, right? It's clowns who've gone through what sounds like pretty extensive training on just like medical procedures, not to perform them, but to understand them.
Yeah.
And make kids feel better, which I don't know if this is actually a business, but it sounds nice. Like, it sounds like a really good service to provide, because I imagine kids get really spooked when they have to go to the hospital.
I feel like clowns are a common thing for people to be afraid of, though, so.
Not when you're a kid, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
Kids are more accepting of clowns.
Yeah. I guess since it said several times that the clowns went through some serious training, I thought it was medical training.
No.
Yeah.
I think it was just to understand, like,
yeah,
good practices to handle and to handle these situations and whatnot.
Yeah. So out of 5 hospital clowns, what would you rate Ghosted?
I gotta be honest, I think I gotta give it like a 2.8.
Yeah, I was
yeah.
Middle of the road too. I'm gonna go 3.
Wow.
It was all right, but I don't know. Not the best I ever read, but also not the worst I ever read.
Oh, yeah. And I have a lot of, yeah, like I said, I've had a lot of issue with the ending. And so not, yeah, I mean, I guess it's worth a read if you, I don't know, if you want just like a little something on the side.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, we also never mentioned that the book takes place in England, which there was a lot of terminology that just isn't something that we use in the U.S. So, mm-hmm. And then also the lady who narrated the audiobook was British.
Oh, nice.
So that was a little fun to listen to.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Yeah. But yeah, I think after like the first 10 or so chapters, when I was like, okay, I got to listen to the audiobook or something because this is too slow to read. I don't know. After that, I was like, it's not great, but it's also not the worst book I ever read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, for a secondhand bookstore find, not bad.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's some real stinkers out there, and I'm surprised that your method of just like selecting random books is not led us super astray yet.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm very surprised too, because a lot of times my method of picking a book is either how many copies there are on the shelf or is there a pretty cover? And then a lot of times I'll read the synopsis just to make sure it's not something that sounds horrible. But other than that, I haven't done a lot of research on some of them.
Oh.
This one, I did zero research. I just saw that there was 2 copies. I'm like, this will work.
Yeah. That is the opposite of how I select the books.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I do like actually put some thought into it, but sometimes they're totally random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of our next book. So for February, we're going to read Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
Yeah. I don't think I've actually ever read it before.
I think if we didn't read it in high school in my English class, we definitely read an excerpt of it.
That's maybe what I'm thinking too. Like, I feel like I've read, but I don't know what excerpt we would have read.
Yeah, I was trying to think about it. Anyway, so I wanted to try and pick something a little older, more of a classic. There's a few on my list, but I decided for Frankenstein because it's short, and also because I feel like in high school we also learned that Percy Shelley wrote it, but it was like, it's all Mary Shelley, and we'll talk about that, I assume, in the episode. But it's like, yeah, it's they did Mary Shelley a big disservice by giving credit to her husband, which is par for the course. But
I didn't realize that it wasn't. I think I've always heard Mary Shelley. I don't know Percy Shelley. Anyway, well, that'll be good. I haven't read that one before. And then the short story series is called A Wayland by Ramona Ozabel. I just ordered it. It's coming.
Nice.
Yep. And the first story is going to be You Can Find Love Now, which is about a cyclops on a dating app.
I know. I'm really excited for this book.
Me too. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
But yeah, hopefully. We'll see.
Yep. So get your copies of this today. You can probably find them at your local library, which is where you should always start. So
definitely Frankenstein, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That one is actually probably free. If you have like a Kindle or the Kindle app, I'm sure that it's free on there as well.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marianne and Wanda. We would love to hear your feedback and if you have any books or topics for us to review.
You can reach us at Marianne and Wanda Podcast on Instagram or send us an email at Marianne and Wanda Podcast @gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.